Rick Warda gave me a call a few minutes ago. He's stuck on the freeway because of the rainy conditions. I also tried to call Chuck Cabala, but he didn't answer his phone. So I am praying that the Lord will bless these few moments with myself and you to give us some comfort in His Word. So I don't have anything really outlined, but I trust in the Holy Spirit to guide me in His Word as He has with my life. My wife once said to me, "I don't know how you're going to preach a message. I don't know how you're going to give a Bible study." And the Lord just had me reply to her, "The Lord shall provide Himself a message." And you can't go wrong with that type of mindset. The Lord is merciful, and He seeks for His people to glorify Him. So in this time of going into His Word, let us go to Him and ask a blessing. Heavenly Father, we come to You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unworthy sinners we are, Lord, but a kind and merciful God You have shown us to be. You have revealed Your darling Son to us as a perfect sacrifice, which is well-pleasing in Your sight, Lord. And we ask that Your Holy Spirit would come and minister to us this morning in Your Word, Lord. Have mercy upon my soul. Have mercy upon our sins. Thank You for the rain which brings growth to this planet and gives us food to eat and cleanses our streets and lets us realize that You are merciful to let the rain fall. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn into your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3? We're going to be reading Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, this particular text I've always held dear to me because it's always been true that in every circumstance we should trust the Lord. Even when circumstances seem to be so bad and grievous, we understand by reading Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And also know that nature, we shouldn't be so narrow-minded just to focus on circumstances in our lives and events that take place and grievous things that cause our attention to be focused on the Lord, but also in creation, which testifies to the glory of God, is working together for our good. Whether there's storms or floods, earthquakes, pestilence, famine, these are all working together for God's elect, for their good. And what is their good? Their good is to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to give you an example of this particular proverb in chapter 3 of somebody who took this proverb and actually manifested itself in what she had done. So please turn with me to Luke chapter 8. And we're going to be reading verses 43 through 50. Now, in this particular text, Jesus is on His way to raise Jairus' daughter. And on His way, there's a great multitude of people. And here's how it reads. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind Him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and touched the border, which is the hem of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood was stopped. It was staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him, before all the people, for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Now this particular text, you see this young woman taking this proverb, trust in the Lord. She had trusted in the physicians of the world. She had trusted in those who were religious. And I think a lot of us here can identify with this young lady because we have trusted in those who would call themselves healers, and yet we haven't been healed. We have trusted in those who called themselves preachers, who only let us down and fleeced us and took our money and told us not the truth. And she had spent all of her living just for this healing. And she had heard that this one who called himself Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the ultimate physician. Jesus said, "I don't come to call the righteous, but I come to call sinners. I don't come for those who are well within themselves. I come for those who are in need of a Savior, one who is able to save to the uttermost to them that come to Him by faith." Now we know that faith is a gift of God, as Ephesians would tell us. "For you are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any of us should boast." Faith is the gift that God gives us. So we call it ours, and He calls it yours. Faith is that conduit that connects us to the Lord Jesus Christ, which gives us all our nutrients and spiritual needs, which comforts our soul in times of distress, and comforts us in times of great joy, that we have a physician in heaven who's able to heal our spiritual wickedness, our spiritual adultery, our spiritual fornications, our spiritual uncleanness. And here we see it with this young woman. And she's thinking to herself, "I've spent all this money. I see that this one has healed all these people. If I can just touch, if I could just put my tiny little finger upon the hem, upon the garment border of this one who calls himself the Son of God, I shall be whole." Is there anybody here this morning that needs to be made whole? I tell you of a fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save you from your sins. This is a promise which God has given to us. It is a command that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you who believe shall be saved. Those who come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will no wise cast out. And though we come trembling, as this young lady came trembling, in great fear, because she knew who she was. The Spirit of God Almighty had revealed to this woman that she was a sinner, and she did not deserve to be healed by God. But she came, and she touched Him, and she was healed. That issue of blood. The issue is the blood. The issue is the blood that the Lord Jesus Christ shed for His people. There is no remission of sins except there be a shedding of blood. From Genesis to Revelations, all the blood that was shed in the Old Testament testified to the Lord Jesus Christ. How much blood flowed from those altars? All the Jewish people would see this blood flowing. Thousands and thousands and millions of animals slain just to typify the one who is the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Blood flowed from the altar. You could not get away from this testimony in the Jewish religion that there is blood to be shed. There is payment to be made for sin. And she had grown up watching this. She was a Jewish young lady. And she understood that if anyone can heal me, it is this one called the Son of David. The one in whom the Old Testament talked about. The one who would bring healing to his people. And Jesus, the God-man, says, who touched me? Now, why would Jesus ask that if he's God? He knows everyone that's touching him. Do you remember in the garden? Adam and Eve had fell. They had transgressed God's law. What was the first thing they did? They hid themselves. They hid behind religious fig leaves. That's what we call them here at Grace. Religious fig leaves. Self-righteousness. Free will. I was listening to a preacher and he had talked about Samson. Do you remember Samson? He was one of the judges in Israel. And he had a lot of strength that the Lord had given him. He took a Nazirite vow. He was not to touch the grape or the wine. And God was going to use him. And everything about Samson's life would tell us, how could this guy be a judge of Israel? The man slept with a prostitute. He married a Philistine woman, a Delilah, who was not even of the people. But God had a purpose. And he had gotten deceived by Delilah, whom he loved. And she cut his hair and lost his strength. His eyes were plucked out. And he's a great type of our Lord Jesus Christ. But in that story, there is a little lad. And you look at this, if you read the account, a little lad that as he's about to die, as he's brought up to the pillars, he's brought up to those pillars and he's chained to those pillars on the right and on the left. And the preacher I was listening to said it like this. He said, those two pillars are self-righteousness and free will. And the Lord gave him strength as he gave our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, his Son, the strength to pull down all of hell and all of the wrath and fury of God because of our self-righteousness and because of our free will. And as Samson pulled, the pillars came down, and he destroyed that temple and himself in the process as a great type of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. And this woman says, who touched me? Jesus says, who touched me? And Peter, you know, Peter's always just mouthing off. Just Peter, he reminds me of myself. Just always got something to say. Everyone was touching the Lord Jesus Christ. But it was not in faith. They were thronging up against him. They had other motives. They thought, oh, this man brings bread. He can heal me and heal my disease, but it wasn't for the salvation of their soul. This woman had more than just a motive of being healed. She knew who this person was. It had been revealed to her that this was the Son of God. And if I could just touch that hem, I shall be made whole. But they all touched him. And so back to the garden, the fig leaf religion that everyone hides behind, God comes to Adam and Eve and he says, where are you? Why would God ask them where they are? He's God. He knows where they are. He wants them to realize one thing that we all need to realize as believers, that we were lost, and we had to be shown that we were lost. So God, in his time of love, when he comes to the believer and says, where are you? In your sin, and in your distress, in your disease, in your sickness, in your pride and self-arrogance, in your self-righteousness, in your free will works religion, where are you? And when he asks you that question, it goes right to the heart of who you are. And you will answer, by his grace, I'm lost. And so Jesus asked the same question. Who touched me? And what happened? She came trembling. She came fearful. Because the God of glory had asked her and asked everyone, who touched me? Has God touched you? Has God shown himself to you as able to save? Able to save your soul from the eternal wrath of God, the fire and fury of his Father that he took upon himself and drank up the wrath so that we don't have to endure an eternity in hell? That same Jesus that took upon the sins of his elect, have you touched him? Has he touched you? I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew it was not me that sought him, but it was him seeking me. He draws his people to himself with cords of love. Have you been drawn by the cords of this great and everlasting love, this everlasting covenant of grace that God the Son and God the Father made before eternity? Has that Holy Spirit of the Blessed Trinity shown you that the Lord Jesus Christ is all sufficient for you, as it did this young lady? Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. The virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ is all the believer needs for life and godliness. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge to depart from evil. I tell people I'm a God-fearing Christian at work, and they say, well, why are you fearing God? Because I know what I am, and I know who he is. And I know he has the power both to destroy my body and my soul and put it in hell. But my fear is not having torment anymore, because I understand that he's forgiven me. That he loves me just as he loves the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He has placed my soul, he has placed my being, just as he done with you, if you believe the gospel, in his Son. So when he looks at you, he sees the Lord Jesus Christ. And when this woman saw, in verse 47 saw that she was not hid, because all things are manifest in the sight of God. There is nothing we can hide. He's omnipresent. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. Those things which we think in our minds and in our hearts are not hid from this great and omnipresent God that we have to deal with. He knows your hearts. He knows your motives. He knows everything about you. And as this woman saw him, she knew she was hid no more. And that's what I pray for all of us here. There's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to turn. Let us remain in the light that sheds so much truth upon who we are and who he is. Trembling and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him. And she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Let me show you something real quick here. Starting at verse 1, he says, and you hath he quickened. That means to be made alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So here Paul is giving an example of what we were before, and that we walked as the course of the world. We were ruled by the prince of the air. The devil and all his angels had their way with us, and we followed suit. But then there's a change of events, just like this young lady, where she was once a disobedient child. But now, as we read in verse 3, it says, according whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the desires of our flesh and of the mind. Now remember what she was doing. She was going to the physicians. She was going to those who she thought could heal her. This was her own understanding. Remember, we read Proverbs chapter 3 and 5 to open up. And this is a great example because she was leaning on her own understanding. She thought that she could use money to buy herself healing. But the healing, as we've talked about, is more than just healing of a fleshly issue. The issue is sin. The issue is hell. The issue is we need a Savior that is able to save. And so Paul, to the Ephesian church, makes us realize that we all had our conduct, all of us, before salvation in times past in the lust of our flesh. It is a lust of the flesh to go to any preacher and think that he can deliver you from anything. That's our own understanding. The preacher, like in Samson, is that little lad who brings up the preacher to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is where we find the issue that will heal, the shedding of His own blood. The lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, I love the "but" in Scripture because it turns our thoughts to a God who is full of mercy for His people. And this is where we take great comfort. But God, the Creator of the universe, the Creator of all things, the One who brought you forth from your mother's womb, the One that gave you your eyes, the One that gave you your nose, the One that gave you your senses, the One that gave you your body. Right now, this God of glory, the God Almighty that we worship here, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, even when we bought into the things of this world, even when we thought that we could get right with God by our own works, even when we thought that we had a will to turn to God by our own strength, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Now going back to the woman, what does he call her now? He calls her daughter. Are you a son? Are you a daughter of God? Just as Christ is the Son of God, if you be in Christ, you're a new creature. All things are passed away. And if you are in Him, you have now become the children of the living God. And He can call you daughter, and He can call you son. Be of good comfort. What a great comfort. Can you imagine the joy and bliss that this young lady had, that God had shown her favor? God had shown her such love that it would change her life forever. She would be a living epistle on the heart of Christ. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Peace have all they whose minds are on the Lord. Perfect peace. Whatever your circumstance, whatever your trial, whatever life may bring you that would seem to be so chaotic, if your mind is fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, as it was this daughter, this woman who trusted in the Lord with all her heart, and did not lean on her own understanding, and in all her ways acknowledged Him, and He directed her paths. The same is for you. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you so much that He gave Himself for you. And what greater joy and comfort should this bring to the believer? And it should be never forgotten. So in those times of distress, in those times of difficulty, which we all have, thorns and thistles is all we experience after the fall. We have debilitating diseases. We all suffer in some way, in some degree, from that fall. Some more than others. It's the nature of sin. Some get sick easy. But all these things that come upon us as believers are designed to do one thing. And that is to keep our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ, to cause our thoughts to be upon Him, to make us understand that we fell and He saved us and forgave us of our sins. And the joy that we have is that we'll be with Him for an eternity. I was talking to a Jehovah Witness, and first of all, he didn't believe that Jesus was God. Second of all, he thought his works would be sufficient to present to God because they actually document everything they do and give it to God. And then Judgment Day, they're going to give it to God. I felt really sorry, but I ended up telling him, I said, you know what, when I get to heaven, I don't care if I'm in a cardboard box. As long as I'm with the Lord Jesus Christ, it is all good. And he scratched his head on that one. But I'm a UPS driver and I had to get out of there. So I had to deliver that little package and get out of there. But hopefully, you know, he understands that this is not about works. This is about God coming in the flesh, the incarnation of Christ, coming for a people that are His. And I hope that blessed your soul. I saw Rick come in and I didn't want to stop, but I hope the Lord blessed you with that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for all the blessings you've given us. We thank you for the healing which you've given us in our souls, that we are now accepted with you, and that you have healed us from the disease of sin. And Lord, we just give you thanks. And Lord, may this day be a glorious day, that we may all look to you and know the comfort which passes all earthly comforts. For your glory, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.